O Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 13, The Dynasty of Maharaj Nimi, Text 11. Deva Uchahu Videha Ushyatam Kama Lochaneshu Sharirina Unmeshana Nimeshabhya Lakshito Adhyatma Samstitaha Deva Uchuhu Videha Ushyatam Kama Lochaneshu Sharirinam Unmeshana Nimeshabhyam Lakshito Dhyatma Samstitaha Deva Uchahu Videha Ushyatam Kama Lochaneshu Sharirina Unmeshana Nimeshabhyam Lakshito Dhyatma Samstitaha Deva Uchahu Videha Ushyatam Kama Lochaneshu Sharirina Unmeshana Nishmeshabhyam Lakshito Dhyatma Samstitaha. Deva Uchahu Videha Ushyatam Kamam Lochaneshu Saririnam Unmeshana Nimeshabhyam Lakshito Dhyatma Samstitaha Deva Uchahu Deha Uchitam Kama Chaneshu Sharirinam Sabyam Ushitam Kama Ganeshu Saririnam Meshanam Meshanam Chitanyaka Samsita Deva Uchu Desha Ushitam Kama Lochaneshu Sharirinam Unmeshana Nimeshabhyam Vakshito Dhyatma Samstita. Vaishnavis, Deva Uchu Deha Ushitam Kama Lochaneshu Sharirinam Unmeshana Nimeshabhyam Vakshito Dhyatma Samstita Deva Uchu Deha Ushitam Kama Achanesu Saririnam. Amri Sabyam. Deva Uchahu. The demigod said, Videha, without any material body. Ushitam, you live. Kamam, as you like. Lochaneshu, in the vision. Sharirinam, of those who have material bodies. Unmeshana nimeshabhyam, become manifest and unmanifest as you desire. Lakshitaha, being seen. Adhyatma samstitaha, situated in a spiritual body. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The demigod said, let Maharaj Nimi live without a material body. Let him live in a spiritual body as a personal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And according to his desire, let him be manifest or unmanifest to common, materially embodied people. Please repeat. The demigod said, let Maharaj Nimi live without a material body. Let him live in a spiritual body as a personal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And according to his desire, let him be manifest or unmanifest to common materially embodied people. Purport. The demigods wanted Maharaj Nimi to come to life, but Maharaj Nimi did not want to accept another material body. Under the circumstances, the demigods, having been requested by the saintly persons, gave him the benediction that he would be able to stay in his spiritual body. There are two kinds of spiritual bodies as generally understood by common men. The term, quote, spiritual body, unquote, is sometimes taken to refer to a ghostly body. An impious man who dies after sinful activities is sometimes condemned so that he cannot possess a gross material body of five material elements, but must live in a subtle body of mind, intelligence, and ego. However, as explained in Bhagavad Gita, devotees can give up the material body and attain a spiritual body free from all material tinges, gross and subtle. Tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti sarjana. Thus, the demigods gave King Nimi the benediction that he would be able to stay in a purely spiritual body free from all gross and subtle material contamination. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can be seen or unseen according to his own transcendental desire. Similarly, a devotee, being Jivan Mukta, can be seen or not as he chooses. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samavritaha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is not manifest to everyone and anyone. To the common man, he is unseen. Ata Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhavad Grayam Indriyai. Krishna, his name, fame, qualities, and paraphernalia cannot be materially understood unless one is advanced in spiritual life. Sevan Mukhehi Jivado, one cannot see Krishna. Therefore, the ability to see Krishna depends on Krishna's mercy. The same privilege of being seen or unseen according to one's desire was given to Maharaj Nimi. Thus, he lived in his original spiritual body as an associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the interesting topic of ghost is being mentioned here in this purport, and it's becoming that time of the year. We're getting close to Halloween, during which time the people in general become very excited about ghosts and zombies and all kinds of things like that. We can laugh about it, but it's really not so funny in one sense, because in the Bhagavad Gita it's described that there is worship, there is religion according to the different modes of material nature. So purely spiritual religion means worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead without any material motive. Generally, according to Bhagavad Gita, those in the mode of goodness, they worship demigods for some material result, some material benediction. And it's stated that those in the mode of passion worship demons or some great person in human society. And you know, we see that's very common. You know, people are very much in the mode of passion, so they idolize certain people in material society, whether they're sports stars or political figures or singers or actors. You know, they practically speaking worship them. They have pictures of them in their houses. They talk about them, they hear about them. So, but then in the mode of ignorance, it's stated that people worship ghosts and demons. And according to one's mode of worship, that determines one's destination in the next life. Yanti deva vrta te van Pitrin yanti pitri vritaha, bhutani yanti bhutejya, yanti madhyajino pimam. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, devan yanti deva vritan. Those who worship the devas, the demigods, they go eventually to the place of the demigods, you know, the heavenly planets, the material heavenly planets. Of course, that's not good, because even the material heavenly planets are temporary. They're still subject to the influence of material time. Pitrinyanti Pritrivritaha. Those who worship the ancestors go to the place of the ancestors. There's a place called Pitriloka. But then, Bhutani Yanti Bhuteja. Those who worship the ghost and the spirits, they will take birth among such beings. And then finally, Krishna says, Yanti Madhyajanopi Mam, those who worship me, come to me. Of course, we want to be in that category. So, as I said, at the end of this month, people are going to be very much absorbed in dressing up like ghosts and demons and zombies and other such things. So ultimately that's not very healthy for them. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains what a ghost is. We have to understand that we're made up of three things, ultimately. There's the spirit soul, then there's the subtle material body, and the gross material body, made of earth, water, fire, ether, air. So this gross physical body dies, and according to the condition of the subtle body of mind, intelligence, and false ego, a person is generally carried to another gross physical body. And the body they get is determined by the state of their subtle material body. But in some cases, a person will not immediately get another gross physical body. For example, it's stated several times in Shastra and by our acharyas that if somebody commits suicide, normally they will not immediately get another gross physical body. They have to remain for some time in a ghost body. Ghost body means they remain in the subtle material body composed of mind, intelligence, and false ego. Another reason for that can be simply material attachment or extreme impiety, as Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport. If somebody is very attached to their present material situation, that can influence their condition so that they don't immediately go to another gross physical embodiment but remain in that subtle ghost body for some time. Now, although Srila Prabhupada here is mentioning the subtle body in the form of mind, intelligence, and false ego, elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we learn there are additional elements that are part of the subtle body. For example, in the fourth canto, in the story of King Paranjana, we learn that among the elements of the subtle material body are the subtle senses. You know, we have five knowledge-acquiring senses, you know, the sense of sight, the sense of hearing, the sense of taste, the sense of smell, the sense of touch. And we have the five working senses, or karmendriyas, as they're called. And those are the grasping sense, the locomotory or walking sense, speaking sense, and the working sense, working senses connected with reproduction and evacuation. But those senses are actually part of the subtle body, and they work through the gross physical organs, like the subtle visual sense operates through the eyeball, the subtle grasping sense operates through the arm. But when the gross physical body dies, those subtle senses are still there. You know, Srila Prabhupada was remarking, you know, about ghosts. He said, sometimes, even though we can't see a ghost, we can see an object being moved apparently without anything touching it, you know, across a room. And he said that's because, you know, the ghost is carrying it, taking it away. And, I mean, we can understand that subtle elements can influence grosser elements. You know, for example, air is more subtle than the gross physical elements. But we can see air has tremendous power. If there's a hurricane or a tornado, it can lift up cars and throw them into the air, drop them miles away. So subtle elements can influence the grosser ones. So sometimes, as Srila Prabhupada was mentioning, ghosts have that power. They also have the tendency to haunt people. This means, Srila Prabhupada says, they have the ability to take over the subtle body of another person who has a gross physical body, and then they try to use that gross physical body to enjoy somehow or other, because they have, these ghosts have all kinds of unfulfilled desires, and they don't have any body with which to satisfy them. So therefore, they're always looking to possess someone. And those who engage in intoxication are easy victims for such possession. So, these things are mentioned in the Shastras and by our Acharyas. So that's, one kind of, quote, spiritual body, this ghostly body. And Srila Prabhupada sometimes would talk about his personal experiences with ghosts. In 1945, before he came to America, when he was still a householder, he was engaged in his pharmaceutical business. So he was in Lucknow, which is a town in northern India, and he was looking for a building in which to have a little factory for manufacturing different Ayurvedic medicines and other medicines that he would sell through his pharmacy. So there was one very suitable building that had a very high rent, thousands of rupees a month. But nobody would rent this building because the story was it was haunted by ghosts, so nobody would take it. So Srila Prabhupada went to the owner and said, "I'll take it for 200 rupees a month." So he got a really good deal on it because it was a haunted house. So he moved some of his servants and employees into the house to begin, working and setting up the factory. And they protested. They said, "Sir, there are ghosts here. We can't stay here." So Srila Prabhupada said, I'll take care of that. So he initiated some chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And, he said, if they can't stand that, so they'll leave. So they left. And he also did something similar in 1969 when he was in England. The devotees had arranged for him to live at the house of John Lennon and Yoko Ono outside London. And, Srila Prabhupada was living there with some of the devotees. And, John Lennon had complained to some of the devotees or let the devotees know that one building on the property was haunted. And Srila Prabhupada heard about this, and he actually said, "Yes, sometimes I see ghosts around that building. I've noticed it myself." So he had the devotees go there, blow conch shells, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, burn some incense, and the ghost went away. So, yeah, these things are real. Once, you know, Srila Prabhupada was talking with an Indian gentleman, a Dr. Ghosh, and this topic of ghosts came up. And Dr. Ghosh said, well, you know, of course in the old days people believed in such things. And Prabhupada said, no, it's not like that. They are real. They're described by Srila Vyasadeva in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Dr. Ghosh was saying, but I can't see. He said, just because you can't see doesn't mean it doesn't exist. That's why we have to become Shastra Chakshush. See with the eyes of Shastra. It's not that Vyasadeva would mention these things in the Srimad Bhagavatam unless they were true. And then Dr. Ghosh said, well, once I knew this man, and he said there was a ghost haunting his house and setting things on fire. So I went there, and I found out it was his wife who was emotionally disturbed, and she was doing all these things. And Prabhupada said, yeah, that may be. I mean, sometimes things like that do happen, but it doesn't rule out, you know, the real existence of ghosts. You know, so anyways, this is one kind of spiritual body. Now, the other kind of spiritual body that's, I mean, Srila Prabhupada speaks about this ghost body. He puts spiritual body in quote marks. You know, he just says this is a common understanding among common people. But the real spiritual body is the form of the soul, the svarupa, jivara svarupa hoy krishnara nitya das. And that is the real identity of the soul, the spiritual, its spiritual form in which it eternally serves Krishna. So if someone hasn't understood that, they're like a dead person, even though living. You know, there's one verse in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that says, if a person hasn't gotten the dust of the lotus feet of a devotee on his head, or he hasn't smelled the aroma of the tulsi plant, then such a person is considered to be a dead body, although breathing. So this is a topic related to ghosts, zombies. A zombie is, according to some traditions, is an animated dead body. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam it's stated that, you know, a person who isn't absorbed in Krishna consciousness and engaged in devotional service is like a dead body, although breathing and walking. So sometimes people talk about zombie apocalypse. You know, everybody... But that's actually what's going on. Unless one is situated in one's constitutional position, that means one is simply being controlled by the material energy, by something external to oneself. Prakriti kriyamanani guna karmani sarvashaha ahankara pamudhatma kartrahamiti manyate. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that through the material energy and the modes of nature, everyone is being controlled. Although they're thinking, they're acting independently, actually they're under the control of the material elements. So only under false ego are they thinking. They are the doers. Actually, they're not. So... in that sense, you could say that, you know, the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to give real life to the walking dead, to bring them back to their real consciousness. And, you know, final topic here is the topic of becoming visible or invisible in this spiritual form according to one's will. Apparently, Maharaj Nimi is being given this ability. He's being situated in a spiritual form, which can become visible or invisible to the people in general, according to his will. So, you know, I was trying to think of other cases like that. There was the case of Junior Haridas, who was an associate of Lord Chaitanya in the renounced order. And on one occasion, he had begged some rice from an elderly Vaishnava lady. But to, you know, Lord Chaitanya, in order to teach those of the renounced order a lesson, criticized him. You know, he forbade him to come into his presence. He says, because you're in the renounced order and you had a private conversation with a woman. And so for a long time, he refused to see this Junior Haridas. So eventually, you know, he went to the confluence of the Ganges and the Yamuna, which is a sacred place, and he went into the water there and ended his life. Now, normally, if a person commits suicide, they get a ghost body. But for this, in this specific case, he got a spiritual body. And the devotees would sometimes hear him singing, although they couldn't see his body. But you know, Swarup Damodar explained, you know, what really happened, because they thought, well, maybe he became a ghost. But he said, no, that's not what happened. He actually left his body in a sacred place for a specific purpose, and he was actually very dear to Lord Chaitanya. So now he's actually got a spiritual body, even though we can't see it. So that would be another case of someone who had a spiritual body that couldn't be seen. And even Lord Chaitanya, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself and has a totally spiritual body, sometimes he would be invisible to devotees. It's stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Chaitanya would be manifest in three ways, Sakshat, Avesha, and Avirbhav. So Sakshat means in his personal visible form, you know, that he would interact with devotees in. And Avesha means he would appear in the form of an empowered devotee. You know, the devotee would be so empowered by Lord Chaitanya that it would be actually like Lord Chaitanya being within the body of that devotee. And then Lord Chaitanya would be manifest in his Avirbhav form, which means he wouldn't be visible at all. Like on one occasion, Lord Chaitanya told the devotees from Bengal who used to visit him every year, you know, they would come to Jagannath Puri, and he told them, don't come next year. Don't come. So he said, and he promised them, I'll go visit you. So Shivananda Sain was one of these devotees, and so he didn't go to Bengal that next year. He was just waiting patiently for Lord Chaitanya to come, and he was supposed to come in the month of December. So he waited and waited and waited, and Lord Chaitanya didn't come. So one devotee named Nisringa Brahmachari, you know, he went to Shivananda Sen and said, "Why are you so sad?" And Shivananda Sen, "Well, Lord Chaitanya said he would come, and I've got everything ready, you know, to prepare a nice feast for him, but he's not coming." So Shivananda Sen said, "Give me all the preparations, all the bhoga to make the feast, and I promise you I'll bring him here within 3 days." So for 2 days he meditated on Lord Chaitanya, and he said, "Okay, he's coming. Now he's in Panahati. Tomorrow he'll be here." And the next day he prepared a huge feast. And in trance, he saw Lord Chaitanya come, and he had prepared, this Nisringa Brahmachari had prepared 3 offerings, one for Lord Chaitanya, one for Lord Jagannath, and the other for Lord Nisringadev, because he was a big devotee of Lord Nisringa. It was his personal deity. And in his trance, and nobody else could see this, Lord Chaitanya came and ate all 3 offerings, so he was a little upset. Yeah, now there's nothing left for Lord Jagannath or Lord Nisringadev. What have you done? And so he cooked again, and he was telling all this stuff to Shivananda Sen, and Shivananda Sen was like, "What's going on here? Is he, you know, did this happen or didn't it happen? Because I didn't see anything." So then the next year, the devotees went to Jagannath Puri, and, you know, they heard Lord Chaitanya say, like Shivananda Sen was there, and he heard him say, "Well, it was really nice last December when I went to your place and got all this excellent prasadam from Nisringa Brahmachari." So he had gone there in his avirbhava form, not being visible. So apparently the Lord and his devotees, they can be visible or invisible as they desire. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Yes. Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Nice class, as usual. What's the essential difference between a ghost and the inhabitants of the rest of Jamadweep, or even the rest of the, you know, the different planetary systems? They all have subtle, they're all existing in subtle bodies, from what I could understand. You know, they all have those subtle senses. Is it like is it like the difference between like an American citizen that's in prison and an American citizen that's free? They were all American citizens, but some are just like sentenced to be in a particular place. Is it something like that?
Yeah, I've thought about that, and what I tend to think is something like you're saying. In other words, like a ghost is restricted from sense gratification, whereas the demigods, who also have subtle bodies, are not restricted. They're able to enjoy their senses, you know, which are not like, you know, their bodies are not like our bodies. So those, and there are, so I would, of course, the best answer would be one directly from Guru Shastra and Sadhu, and not based on Anumana. You know, it may be like this or it may be like that. But I tend to think along the lines that you were suggesting, you know, that these souls that are confined to what we call ghost bodies, they're prevented from enjoying their senses. Whereas, you know, the inhabitants of the more subtle regions, by their karma, they're actually able to enjoy their whole sensory apparatus, you know, according to their karma. Swavas, Prabhu.
Hi, thank you for a nice class. My question is that how is it that the demigods could award him that eternal spiritual body or that position? It doesn't really say too much about him being like a self-realized or liberated soul. I don't remember hearing that. But how is it that they had the power to make that decision?
Well, the demigods are acting as agents of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So without the permission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they wouldn't be able to do it.
So I would say they
were acting within the limits of their authority. And as far as the state of Maharaj Nimi, we'd have to, look and see if there's any indication of what his devotional state was. If he got a spiritual body, he had to be qualified for it in some way.
The last text of this chapter? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Srila Prabhupada. Oops.
We have just one sec. I want to make a comment on this particular point, which is a good point raised by Svavas. Actually, it's stated very clearly that Maharaj Nimi was a self-realized, God-realized soul. So he was already, his spiritual body was already developed. So it was a question only of when he, quote-unquote, died, it was already there. So the question really was how to conceal it. And that's basically what the demigods were involved in, the concealment of his already established spiritual body. So they gave him the right. It's like Krishna mentions, I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore did not know that I am unborn and exhaustible. So this is basically the same idea. He has that right to decide. That's in the purport. He has the right to decide who he wants to see him in his spiritual body and whom he does not want to see him in his spirit, just as Krishna himself manifested that same power.
Yeah, because I think it's stated that they allowed him to remain in his spiritual body rather than having to take another gross physical body.
Yeah.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.